Well, you're one of the many who spent the weekend hunting for a home, maybe for your first home. You're not alone as the property market becomes hotter, with an auction clearance rate above 80% in almost every capital city over the weekend. Now the New South Wales government has unveiled its plan to increase housing affordability in a submission to a federal inquiry. New South Wales wants the federal government to review the capital gains tax discount accessed by property investors. It's also looking at scrapping its own stamp duty. Independent economist Saul Leslake joins us now. Saul Leslake, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you for having me on, friend.
New South Wales is urging the federal government to decrease the capital gains tax discount. Why does the state see that as a hurdle to housing affordability? Opinions seem to be mixed on this.
I'd like to think it's because they're correct in their assertion, although I worry that the state government, like other state governments, is seeking to blame the deterioration in housing affordability on the federal government in much the same way as the federal government seeks to blame the deterioration in housing affordability on state and local governments, so that neither ends up doing anything and we keep going on as we have been for the last 30 years. But to come to the point that the New South Wales government is making in its submission, the capital gains tax discount was made more generous to property investors in 1999 when the Howard government changed it from applying at full marginal rates to the capital gain on any investment, property, shares, whatever, minus an allowance for CPI inflation, to a tax which applied at half the taxpayer's marginal rate to the nominal gain. And in a low inflation environment, which is what we've had over the last 20 or so years, that's a much more generous treatment than the one which Paul Keating introduced in 1985. And as a result of that change, negative gearing, which had been allowable under the tax law since income tax was first introduced in Australia, became a strategy that allowed people not merely to defer the tax that they would otherwise pay on their other income, but also permanently to reduce it. And as a result of that, after the change that was made in 1999, the number of landlords increased in Australia by more than a million, from about 15% of all taxpayers to over 20% of all taxpayers. And the share of housing finance commanded by investors rose from, it had been in the early 90s, about 12% of all mortgages granted, to at the peak in the mid-2010s, 44%. So it's very clear, I think, that the capital gains tax discount was one, not the only one, but one of a number of factors that helped pull investors into the property market and pushed first home buyers in particular out of it.
Yeah, there seems to be, as I say, you know, various views on this. The Property Council, perhaps not surprisingly, is arguing for the maintaining the capital gains tax as it is. It says that without it, increasing capital gains could decrease supply. So there's that argument. And in terms of some of the federal politicians, Jason Falinski, who's chairing this inquiry, says that the major problem is nothing to do with capital gains tax or stamp duty, and we can get to that. It's mostly about local government planning and zoning rules. What are the points here? Is it a fact that all of these are equally, you know, contributing to the massive increases in house prices?
Well, I think they're all contributing. I mean, I think it is silly and wrong for anyone to say that it's all the fault of demand or it's all the fault of supply. Mm. It's both factors have contributed to the escalation in house prices and to the decline in home ownership rates that has occurred over the last 30 years. And you know, in a lot of ways, it's helpful, I think, to reflect on how housing policy has changed over the last 70 or so years. For about 30 years after the end of the Second World War, when the demand for housing was actually growing quite rapidly because of the combination of our post-war immigration program and the post-war baby boom, as well as a very significant movement of people away from rural and regional areas towards our five biggest capital cities. During that period, the home ownership rate rose by 20 percentage points, from just over 50% at the end of World War II to over 70% by the mid-60s. And as John Howard notes in his autobiography, the number of weeks of average weekly earnings work required to buy the average price home during this period actually declined from about 300 weeks to about 250 or something, I think he says in his biography.
Right.
And during that period, therefore, what governments did was to focus on boosting supply, both by building a lot of houses themselves and by facilitating the construction of new houses and apartments by the private sector. And they did that, for example, by building public transport and arterial roads to new housing estates, and in the case of local governments, by putting in the suburban infrastructure without charging developers for it, instead seeking to recoup the money they'd borrowed to put that infrastructure in from the rates that people who moved into new housing estates would then be paying. But from the mid-60s, when ironically John Howard, as president of the New South Wales Young Liberals, convinced Bob Menzies to offer the first cash grant to would-be first home buyers, and especially from the mid-70s onwards, government policy under governments of both political persuasions and at all three levels of government moved away from boosting supply, instead to making supply both more difficult and more expensive, but also moved towards inflating demand by giving cash grants to would-be first home buyers, by relieving stamp duty for first home buyers, and in particular by making it easier and more tax effective for property investors to get into the market. And so it's both supply and demand that are at the root of the problem, and we need action on both arms of the property market if we're to solve the problem that we've now got.
And I think you said it there in those last final few words, Sol. We need we need action on this. We've been talking about it at state and federal level for a long time now, and you know the number of houses being built is not nearly enough, and the capital gains tax and the concerns around that expressed by the RBA and others still remains in place with no action. Sol Leslake, thank you very much for joining us.
That's a pleasure, friend. Thank you for having me.
Sol Leslake is an independent economist. We did invite the New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet and the Planning Minister Rob Stokes onto the program, but neither was available.